This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Hey, it's 12:03 Monday afternoon, July 8th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us in the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Longtime Chicago Bank is undertaking a rebranding and an expansion. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, the week ahead includes Capitol Hill testimony from Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, plus the latest earnings reports from America's big banks. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, as Paul Christopher, head of global investment strategy at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. Paul, thank you for joining us today. And the holiday week is certainly over, and we can tell that because lots of data that could potentially move markets this week, starting with the big one, and that is the Federal Reserve Chair, Jerome Powell, testifying on Capitol Hill. And of course, Paul is going to be measured in his comments about the economy, but I'm guessing investors will be looking for more signs and portents that we will see an interest rate cut as early as September.
Yeah, that's right, Rob. I wouldn't be looking too hard into the comments about the chairman, Chairman Powell. You'll get CPI on the 11th, that's Thursday, and then you'll get producer price inflation on Friday, as well as, importantly, consumer confidence and expectations for the future on Friday. Those will all be very important. If you get weakness in some combination of those, it probably means that the Fed is still on hold, but is ready to cut rates maybe as soon as September.
Now, it has been rather encouraging once again after a couple of bumps on that road to 2%. What are we expecting? Are we expecting are analysts expecting a inflation reports and inflation reads this week that line up with the optimistic scenario that's back on the table? Or are they leaving open the possibility for yet another hiccup on the way to that 2% target?
So the market's been burned a number of times earlier this year by expecting inflation to fall faster than it really wants to. And so this latest reading coming on Thursday, the market is being much more conservative. That's a good sign. If we only get a 0.1% month-on-month change in June, market will be happy with that, could see it go up again. Even if it misses by another tenth higher, it could still go up again. On a year-over-year basis, we're still looking for 3.1% 12-month change. If it got to 3.2, that wouldn't be a big deal. You would still have a downtrend in inflation. The issue would be if it got to 3.4 or 3.5. We just don't think it's going in that direction on a sustained basis. The trend is now lower.
We're setting up the week ahead in data with Paul Christopher, the head of global investment strategy at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute. And of course, earnings season is underway. And as is tradition, the big banks go first. And what are the analysts expecting from the big banks?
The analysts are expecting the banks to show some gains, but as the economy slows, the banks will also have to set aside additional reserves for potential loan losses as that economy slows. You know, one of the key variables here is how fast is the slowing? Everybody's banking on it being a gradual slowdown. We think that's the case. And then the banks will not have to reserve an exorbitant amount of their capital for loan losses. But if the economy does start to slow faster, then the banks would have a little bit more of a headwind to face.
If the economy is slowing down, but in a way that will just bring inflation down, but not tip into a recession, what kind of forward guidance comments would indicate that?
So forward guidance from the Fed, you mean?
I mean, forward guidance from the banks.
Ah, so the banks would be, in that case, the banks would probably, like the rest of the economy, enjoy a soft landing here. It's a very difficult thing to pull off. Soft landing means that inflation falls by just enough for the Fed to cut rates, but the economy doesn't fall by enough to go into a recession. You're still growing, but the Fed gets more accommodative. You get more credit. It's easier to get. It's cheaper to get. The banks would like that.
Paul Christopher, head of global investment strategy at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, the next phase for the long-operating Amalgamated Bank of Chicago.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Amalgamated Bank of Chicago, founded in 1922, is undergoing a name change as it looks to expand its operations. Let's find out what's behind this latest effort from Nick Weaver, the president and Chicago operating officer of ABOC in Chicago. Nick, thank you for joining us today. And the former ABOC, Amalgamated Bank of Chicago, can trace its roots to 1922. It was a bank set up to serve the Amalgamated Clothing Workers Union. And in the past 102 years, the banking industry and the customers that you served have changed considerably. About 10 years into then Amalgamated Bank's history, we saw the establishment of the FDIC, and banking regulations have changed over the decades. And how would you say ABOC has evolved with the times over the past century?
Well, thanks for having me, Rob. We're really excited about the rebrand of Amalgamated Bank to ABOC. I couldn't be more proud of it. Just last week, we celebrated our 102nd anniversary, and we think the time is right to more broadly communicate the things that set us apart. ABOC is also, we're building on the success and momentum we've generated recently. We're proud of the progress we've made over the last few years, and we've seen record performance of the bank despite constant change and evolution that you alluded to. We're as stable now as we ever have been, and it is a highly volatile banking market, as everyone has seen. So in addition, we've been investing in technology, products and services, as well as talent. And that's put wind in our sails and propelled us to the point of this rebrand.
And before we talk about the nuts and bolts of the rebrand and expansion plans, what is ABOC's, you know, what's your customer base in Chicago? What's the bulk of your business?
The bulk of our business are unions, labor unions. It always has been, and it is our subject matter expertise.
And then when it comes to serving the labor unions itself, I mean, what kind of services do you provide? Where is the bulk of the labor union business coming from? Is it accounts for union workers themselves? Is it pension funds? Is it mortgages? Or is it everything?
It's everything. We're a full-service bank, and we always have been. We were founded with the idea of serving our communities and the businesses, as well as hardworking people, and we still do that to this day.
And then when we talk about the rebrand, now it's ABOC, and clearly you guys have your eyes set beyond Chicago. And what is the growth play for ABOC?
Yes, we are looking to expand. We have a strong foothold here in Chicago. We've been deeply rooted here for over 100 years. But we think we have a great opportunity to expand into the near Midwest, markets such as St. Louis, Milwaukee, Indianapolis, among others.
And how interesting or how dynamic is the space in the tier below the Chases and the Bank of America and Citibank, you know, the behemoths that move economies when the CEO says something? There's a lot of regional banking below that. And do you hope to rub shoulders with some of the bigger names in regional banking?
You know, I don't view it as competition, but per se, but the banking industry, there are a lot of banks, there are a lot of credit unions, and it is very competitive by nature. We are a full-service bank, like I said, and we've been deeply rooted here in Chicago, going up against banks of any number of size for a very long time. We have strong subject matter expertise that sets us apart, and we really tailor our services in a white glove manner to meet, you know, our customers' needs, and we think that sets us apart.
Nick Weaver, President and Chief Operating Officer of ABOC in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, a voice scam targeting the elderly that's inspired a movie.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The recently released film Thelma follows a 93-year-old grandmother on a quest to get back the $10,000 she lost and become the victim of a phone scam. Let's talk about the reality of such a situation with Paul Hawk, President of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, thank you for joining us today. Phone scams are a very common form of separating unwitting people from their money, and thanks to AI, they can get more sophisticated. And what are some of the ways in which AI can give scammers a bit of an edge when they're trying to rip somebody off over the phone?
Well, that's a good question. Basically, almost all of search up until pretty much right now has been an effort by large companies like Google and Amazon and others to harvest your habits. In other words, harvest your information as you've purchased things, as you've sold things, you name it, your online behavior. But what this new AI-generated harvesting is doing is really harvesting you. In other words, if you have any record, and unfortunately for you, lots of records of you and your voice somewhere recorded, then AI engines, if they are, you know, operated by nefarious people, AI models, can generate your voice, very convincing versions of your voice, by grabbing what's online and then adapting it. Now this works, it depends on who's operating the model. In my situation, you know, my company makes videos that explain complicated things. Fine. Some of those folks sell those complicated things overseas. Now I can use an AI model that actually generates a French or an Italian or a German voice. It's very convincing. The point is that these folks are harvesting what's online to send phone calls, in some cases, to people in very convincing versions of, say, your voice. So that sounds like if you had an emergency request for your relative and it came from your voice, or it sounds like it did, they'd be inclined to answer.
We're talking about AI voice scams with Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Now, one thing I have noticed about a lot of AI content is that it's not very sophisticated, and that the reason why it works is that the person who sees it is willing to believe it. And is that the case for some of these AI voice scams, that if all of a sudden I call somebody I haven't talked to in a very long time and I'm telling him I'm in trouble in another country and I need some money from them, your spidey sense should go off immediately and you should start asking them some questions and saying, I'll call you back.
It should, but guess what? Especially with elderly folks who are, and you know, frankly, just by default of time passing, have less and less experience as the older they get with some of the more modern technologies, they are not asking those questions. They're not approaching it with skepticism as they could or should. Now, look, one solution here is to tell folks, your relatives who are older, hey, heads up, give me a call if you have a question, because it sounds a little suspicious that somebody's asking for money. Another way to do it, of course, is, you know, multi-factor authentication, which is a long way of saying make them ask you twice. In other words, don't just say yes, click yes. Actually make them ask you again through, say, a cell phone code sent to you and so forth. All of those protections are in place, but the older the person gets and the more frantic the call on the other end is, the more likely that person is going to respond because they care. So that's the challenge here. It may not be convincing to you, but somebody, you know, add 15 to 20 years to your life and it'll end up sounding more and more convincing.
Paul Hochman, thank you for joining us today.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Mayor Johnson reacts to a holiday weekend in Chicago that included more than 100 people being wounded or killed by gunfire. President Biden tells Democratic lawmakers he intends to remain in the race for the White House. Students heading to college or returning to school need to have a plan for expenses. And at Stock Picker Monday, we'll tap the expertise of an investing pro. WBBM Business. The markets are mixed right now. The Dow is down 83 points. The NASDAQ is up 43. The S&P 500 is up 2. 80 degrees right now under partly sunny skies, going up to a sunny, humid 84. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. At least 19 people have died from gun violence in Chicago over the long 4th of July weekend. Mayor Johnson joined Police Superintendent Larry Snelling at a news conference this morning.
We need to ensure that we are holding every single individual accountable for the pain and trauma and the torment that they have caused in this city. There will be consequences. There will be consequences for the violence. We will not let criminal activity ruin and harm our city.
The overall number of gunshot victims in the city topped 100. President Biden is continuing his effort to dispel doubts about his candidacy with a letter to congressional Democrats and a phone-in to a morning TV show. The details from CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes.
I can't remember this, the last time the president did something like this, if ever. He called in to Morning Joe and spoke to the host for about 15 minutes. He was, he was joining them by phone, so you couldn't see him. It sounded like he was armed with a lot of facts about things that Donald Trump had said on the debate night, looking to land a lot of the punches that he struggled to land on that night about a week and a half ago.
Morning Joe, of course, on MSNBC. In the letter to lawmakers, the president says he's firmly committed to staying in the race. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are mixed today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearstead Advisors in New York. Jim, thank you for joining us today. And a lot of potential market movers this week. You have Fed Chair Jay Powell on Capitol Hill. You have a couple of reads on inflation. And earnings season gets underway. So what has the potential to be the biggest market mover out of all that?
Yeah, well, I think probably Powell's comments are going to be very, very important, closely watched. I don't think he'll break any new ground because we heard him about a week ago in an interview with CNBC. And so I think we're pretty current on what he's thinking. But we do have to watch and see if there are any nuances because there has been some soft economic data in the last week. And, of course, the inflation numbers, the CPI more than the PPI, is going to be closely watched. The markets are looking for a modest improvement, and it would be disappointing if you didn't get that. And then finally, in terms of the bank earnings, what are the banks saying about the economy and the consumer and the environment? So we have to watch all of them.
And you're going to get some a lot of the information. I'm guessing the analysts will want to hear more so than the second quarter results is their forward looking guidance. And of course, it's not only just the banks reporting this week. Pepsi and Delta Airlines will report later this week. And yes, your forward looking guidance does have that's what the analysts want to hear, especially when trying to figure out the trajectory of the economy. But Jim, there's also some rhetorical sleight of hand going on, because I would imagine the forward-looking guidance kind of sets up a set of sets a low bar that allows them to clear it in their third quarter report later this year.
Yeah, that's always the pattern. But I don't think that the companies can be highly confident in their guidance going forward, because we are at sort of an inflection point where the economy is slowing. The base case is it's not going to slow too much, but they don't know that. And then the closer we get to the election and the political noise and the platforms coming out, I think has the potential to create some uncertainty in terms of consumer spending and business capital spending. So I think that will induce people to be conservative on their forecasts, which, as you said, is likely when we get the numbers in October. Likely to be a pleasant surprise.
Why does it feel like you call it an inflection point, or maybe the economy is on a knife's edge right now? Because for the past 2 years, if I received a dime for every time I said soft landing or a guest said soft landing, I'd have a vacation home. I'd be talking to you from Holland, Michigan right now. But we're at the soft landing point, and yet people are uneasy despite the fact this is what we've been discussing and planning for the past 2 years.
Yes, and for the past 2 years, the economy has defied expectations. The consumer and the job market have been healthy and withstood the effects of all these interest rate increases. But the past is not the future, and you are getting some modest softening in the job market. So you can't be certain. You have to be flexible and attentive and keep your optionality. Just because it defied expectations in the past, it doesn't mean it's going to defy expectations in the future. And the most important thing to watch are the payroll data, because as long as people have jobs, the American consumer will spend. So if the labor data continues to decelerate, we'll be more cautious. If it stays relatively strong, then we can continue on the path of a slowing, but as we've said many times, a soft landing. The base case right now is that the economy will slow but not go into a recession, that inflation will start to will continue to decelerate, and the Fed will lower rates one, maybe two times this year, that profits will grow 7% or 8% in the second quarter, and then we'll take a look for the third quarter. But it's basically the base case is a benign outlook.
Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearstead Advisors in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, making sure a college student has a proper plan for spending.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
As students head back to college next month, it's important to have a financial plan for their school and living expenses. Let's get some help from Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder of Rappaport Rikus Capital Management in Chicago, author of the book Maximize Your Return on Life. Sherry, thank you for joining us today. And oh boy, are the memories coming back of getting ready for that freshman year of college back in 1998 when dinosaurs and Backstreet Boys ruled the earth. And I realized back then there were some natural barriers in place to keep you from going crazy with your spending. If you wanted to buy something, you had to go to the cash machine and get the money to walk over to the store to purchase that tape or CD. And now everything is done via your credit card and done via apps, and you really have to watch yourself and tell your kids to watch themselves when they get to college this fall.
Exactly. And I think it's a good time for the parents and their children who are going to college to sit down and not per se a budget, but kind of look at what the spending will be, maybe on a monthly basis, and really encourage the kids to understand what they're getting as far as their food options, because a lot of them do include restaurants and food. So really looking at that is the first step. But then, you know, there's a lot of expenses that come up going to school, books, toiletries, social activities, club, whether it's Greek life, whether it's sports, intramural sports. So really have an honest conversation before your child goes to college. What are you going to pay for? What are they going to be responsible? And what's the budget going to be? But no matter what happens, I guarantee you, you're probably going to get some kind of call during the semester that they've either over budgeted or they need some money. So parents, you know, you should save a little reserve for those kids going to college as well.
Now, you don't even have to wait until they get to campus to impart some of these lessons, because the first thing you do, maybe you're doing it right now before you pack up for your freshman dorm, is go on that Target run. And it's very easy while you're imagining what your dorm room is going to be like for your eyes to be bigger than your budget.
Exactly. And also, if you have a roommate, you know, try to coordinate with them. Maybe one of you can bring the microwave. One might bring a TV or lamps or brooms or whatever it is. So try to coordinate so you're not duplicating. But, you know, that first trip, I remember taking my kids to college. It's a big number, but hopefully you'll buy good things that you'll be able to use, you know, all 4 years. And my kids are moving out in apartments and they're still using some of the linens and towels and things like that.
Now, when it comes to food expenses and Venmo and credit cards, I mean, that's the those are the three areas where it's a different world compared to the time that we went to college, that you can Venmo your friends for various expenses and potentially they could be taking advantage of you. And there are also a lot of food delivery apps that can bring you cuisine from all over the college town. You're no longer limited to Jimmy John's in that one pizza place, and that can really add up.
Yeah, I mean, it was so much easier years ago. You know, you'd go to the gas station, like you said, you got your $50, you put it in your pocket, and that's what you spent for the week or the month. But now, you know, with Venmo, I hear there's a lot of tricks the kids could do. Sometimes they'll treat their friends, and their friends will pay them cash for the difference. And as a parent, you think that's what your child spent for lunch. And it's so hard to keep a budget or keep track because those Venmos are flying in and out. DoorDash, I mean, I think we had a few pizza delivery companies when we were in school, but now, you know, you can get any restaurant, and there's big upcharges with those. So make sure you understand all the charges, and you know, maybe you could buy some things for your little refrigerator in your dorm room that you don't have to always order out. But really, again, check your food options. Instead of DoorDashing Subway, maybe, you know, there's a sub sandwich you can get in the cafeteria. May not be equal, but it's going to be just as good, and you can save the money.
Right, and especially from the parents' perspective, if you are eating in the dorm, then you're taking advantage of the food plan you're paying for, as opposed to getting
exactly.
something at a premium rate on top of what you've already paid for as part of your tuition.
And parents, you know, at the end of the first semester, it's a good time to reevaluate the food plan. Do you have the right food plan? Are they actually using it? A lot of the dollars will not roll over. So, you know, when I talk to a lot of my clients, I think it's that food expense tends to push people over. It can be expensive. And when the kids turn 21, you know, the drinking and all that can get expensive as well.
I used to joke, Sherry, that when I went to Marquette, I personally kept a pizza shuttle on the east side of Milwaukee in business for 4 years. They should have a wing named after me. Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder of Rappaport-Rikus Capital Management in Chicago, thank you for joining us today.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Stock Picker Monday, and we're going to mix things up today. And this afternoon, we're taking a path away from individual stocks with the help of Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com based in Washington. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And there are two things I love about Stock Picker Monday. The first part is that you learn about companies that are below the radar. They're not the big high flyers that are household names, but can still give you some value. And if you have some mad money, it's a good way just to play around with the market and see how those individual stocks do if they live up to their billing on this show. But for the average investor, Mark, you may want to stay away from just playing individual stocks and look at sectors and go a little bit higher than that.
Well, that's right. The odds are simply overwhelming that if you put your money in an S&P 500 index fund that has an extremely low expense ratio, you can get one at 3 basis points per year, 4 basis points per year, which is next to nothing. If you put money in a cheap index fund like that that's benchmarked to the broad market, over time, not in any given month, quarter, or year, but over long periods of time, the odds are simply overwhelming that you'll do better than the stock pickers. And that's the unfortunate truth of all this. It's a very boring strategy. It doesn't make it fun to talk about on a radio show, for example. But nonetheless, the odds speak for themselves. If we were all mechanical robots that were investing solely according to statistics, we'd all be in index funds. Now, of course, we're not mechanical robots. We are human beings with emotions, which is why we end up getting drawn into exactly what you said in your intro, looking at stocks that have great stories. And we always want to have that chance of going for broke and making a huge return on our investments. But the odds are still the same.
I was going to say, I mean, one of the scenarios I did one morning, just to depress myself, I guess, was to see what would happen if I had a time machine and went back to 2002 and put about $10,000 or $5,000 on the tech companies as they developed, because Apple was at a low ebb back then. And then I found it was like a $6 million figure was the conclusion I arrived at. That's what we like to think, that you'll pick the winner and then you're living in Fat City, USA, and that doesn't happen usually.
Well, that's right. We always play that game. If we're in the casino, for example, we look over where the slot machine has just done the jackpot, because we all love to hear all the bells and the coins jingling out of the machine and so forth. And so we say, gosh, it would have been great if we had put our money on that machine. But of course, as soon as we go to that machine, we're always chasing yesterday's returns. Then it's somebody else who makes the jackpot. And that's always a dangerous game to play. After the fact, it's always easy to find the NVIDIAs, which is the current example, or the Apple of two decades ago. But finding them in advance is indeed the challenge. And no one seems to be able to do it consistently over time.
Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com in Washington. Thank you for joining us today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.